Dietrich Bonhoeffer's early life was filled with rich experiences that seemed to feed his spirituality and shape his thinking about God, man, and the world.
I've arrived at the University at Tübingen.
In 1923, he studied theology at the university in Tübingen and then Berlin. He traveled with his brother Klaus to Rome and North Africa. In 1928, he defended his doctoral thesis, then went on to serve as a curate in Barcelona. He returned to Germany in 1929 to lecture in systematic theology at Berlin University, and in 1930 was accepted as a Sloan Fellow to Union Theological Seminary in New York.
Imagine it, Sabina. Now I have to learn English.
Dietrich absorbed everything around him, to be thought through, sorted out, dismissed or interpreted, and then integrated into his life. His time in New York would be no exception, and yet it would prove to be pivotal in ways he could not have imagined.
The 12th of January, 1931. My dear Sabina, thank you for your letter and the scarf. Though it just arrived, I count it as my favorite Christmas gift since it was made by your own hands. It will be put to good use in this cold New York winter. My studies at Union occupy much of my time. The classes here are not as highly academic as similar courses in Berlin. Americans are terribly practical, even with their theology. When I'm not at the seminary, I'm committed to my work at the Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem. I teach a Sunday school class for the youth and a midweek class for the older ladies. I preach occasionally as well. Sometimes I think it's a very odd place for a Lutheran to be. The staunch German working and ministering among blacks who are truly oppressed and genuinely poor. Yet they have a Christian spirit and humor which I find refreshing. Papa may have told you that I have fallen in love with their gospel music. It haunts me in the deepest part of my soul.
You and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Say amen, brothers and sisters. Say amen.
Dietrich. Dietrich.
Yes, Franklin.
What time are Peter and Mary expecting us for lunch?
1 o'clock sharp.
I'll walk with you. Is that all right?
Of course.
What's wrong?
What do you mean?
You've got a silly-looking grin on your face. What's the matter?
Nothing at all. I was quite affected by the service.
Really?
Everyone else is smiling. Why shouldn't I?
It looks different on you for some reason. Strange.
Thank you, Franklin. Sabina, my time here is both exhilarating and confusing. The rawness of emotion for this German who was raised to control, even dispense with emotion, has me at odds with myself. And yet, I feel a stirring within my soul that makes me believe that God is at work.
Peter, will you please answer that? I've got my hands full.
Yeah, okay. It's 1 o'clock sharp. That has to be Dietrich and Frank, right on time like a German clock.
Oh, I don't want to be pedantic, Peter, but we Swiss are better known for our clockmaking.
I stand corrected, Johann. Though I noticed that you arrived early, not on time. Hi, Dietrich, Frank, come on in.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Mary. Do you need any help in the kitchen?
Always. Come stir the gravy.
I'm on my way.
Okay, how was church, Dietrich?
Ah, it was exhilarating.
Oh, you always say that, exhilarating. They should change the name from the Abyssinian Baptist Church to the Exhilarating Baptist Church.
Yeah, now what made this morning so exhilarating?
Because it's one of the few churches in New York that preaches the gospel, which I always find exhilarating.
One of the few?
Yes, one may hear sermons in New York upon almost any subject except one. The gospel of Jesus Christ, of the cross, of sin and forgiveness.
Oh, our Lutheran is turning into a Baptist pulpit pounder. Oh.
Preach it, brother!
Yay!
Ah, come!
Oh, merci. Sorry to be so delayed. I spoke at a Sunday school class this morning and spent an hour afterwards debating the relevancy of the Sermon on the Mount to Christians. To Christians!
Were they for it or against it?
They were so wishy-washy it was hard to tell. And these were the adults. I should have taught the children Sunday school. It would have been more interesting. Come to me as little children, Jesus said. He wasn't kidding.
Come to the table. Let's eat.
Okay.
You know, I'm astounded. Honestly, I am. People read the Sermon on the Mount as if it is useless poetry that they can smile and disregard, rather than react to it as the words of Christ himself. What do they think he means when he says, blessed are the peacemakers?
They think he means someone else, Philippe.
Precisely, and if everyone thinks peace is someone else's responsibility, there'll be no peace. Which is exactly why we had a world war. And we'll probably have another. Several, if we should live so long.
Philippe, the food's getting cold.
Oh, pardon.
Now, let us pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the blessings of friendship and food. Nourish and strengthen us in mind and spirit for your service. Amen.
Amen. Ooh, this looks really good.
It smells delicious.
So, tell me, Philippe, how far do you go with your ideas of peace?
How far? How far do I have to go? As Christians, we are called by Christ to peace. It is simple, no?
No.
No, Dietrich? Mm-hmm. Why do you say no?
Only because our governments sometimes call us to war, and insomuch as Scripture calls us to obey the authorities that God himself puts over us.
Is this you talking or Martin Luther? I know his position on obeying authorities, and I know the German authorities' position on war. We French saw it quite clearly in 1914 through to 1918.
Oh, please, we're not going to have this debate again.
I have little desire to recount the events leading up to the war or to relive the Treaty of Versailles today. Thank you.
All right, then forget about the past. Let's consider the future. Now, we are all Christians, are we not?
Of course. Well,
we are breaking bread together. Though I am French, Dietrich is German, Johann is Swiss, and you three are Americans. And not only Americans, but Franklin is a Negro, which makes him something else to many whites, oui? Oh,
thanks a lot, Philippe. I almost forgot.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Philippe. What's your point, anyway?
Well, my point is that if a war broke out today between, say, the French and the Americans, or the Germans and the French, the Negroes and the whites, consider any variation you like. Suddenly we Christians, who are breaking bread together, will be required to kill each other. Is that right? No. I find nothing in Scripture that gives a Christian the right to destroy the body of Christ, regardless of the authority he claims to follow. We follow Christ, yes? Or do we follow the mission of our government?
In Germany, we do both.
Huh. You think you do both. But how can you, when you Germans have been taught that the affairs of the church and the affairs of the state are separate? Yet what is the church to do when the state insists it do something contrary to Christ?
Martin Luther said...
Martin Luther was a brilliant man, Dietrich, but I'm asking you. Imagine a situation where you have to choose between your government or your faith. Hmm? Which do you choose? Are you a German first or a Christian?
I am both.
If a time comes when you can't be both.
I can't imagine such a time.
Imagine it, my friend. I have read recently that almost half of the students in your German seminaries are pro-Hitler.
No, no, that's ridiculous. No one takes Hitler or his extreme ideas seriously.
No, that's not the idea I get from the newspaper.
Ah, the newspapers say things like that to sell more newspapers. Oh, what time is it?
Almost 1:30. Why?
I'm so sorry. I have to go. I promised to do an interview with a reporter from some sort of news journal.
At what time?
1:30. I wasn't thinking. I apologize for this.
Come back later. I'll keep it warm for you.
Vielen Dank. Ich bin ein Dummkopf.
You see? The Swiss keep the best time.